Hello, you're listening to a Bide and Thrive podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to be a reminder, to be an encouragement, and to uplift you in your walk with God. So join me as we unravel scripture and just learn what it means to abide in Him in our everyday life. So go grab your journal and go grab your pen and let's get into it together. Hey guys, welcome back to episode 7 of a Bide and Thrive podcast. I'm your host Bria, and this week we're going to be talking about keeping a soft heart in a hard world. But before we start, I want to pray us in. Lord, I thank you so much for this episode, God. I pray that you would just have your way. I pray that you will use me, God, and speak through me. And I just give you the leisure and the way to lead this podcast episode, and pray that you just have your way. I thank you, Lord, for giving me this opportunity to share your word, to share your truth. In your name, Lord, I pray. Amen. And also, Lord, just help me to be sensitive and aware of your spirit, and also just touch the hearts that are listening to this podcast. In your name, Lord, I pray. Amen. Alrighty, guys. Well, like I said, we're going to be talking about keeping a soft heart in a hard world. I'm just going to start off. We're just going to hop right into this episode. So, living in a harsh world with hurting people can leave others feeling bitter and apathetic, lonely or defeated. Being mistreated, experiencing unfairness, and just the things that come with life can leave us feeling hopeless and leave us with a hardened heart. But I want to talk to you guys about how to keep a soft heart in a hardened and a broken and a hurting world. But the Bible talks a lot about this. So let's get into this week's episode. Like I said, we're going to start off with just this, some thoughts that I've had. The enemy loves to use pain, disappointment to harden us. And I think for so many people, for so many years, especially in 2020, because it was such a hard year for people, it's been a year of pain and disappointment. And I believe that the enemy wants to use the challenging circumstances of that year, or of a day, or of any year in your life, or even maybe like a really tough life circumstance. I believe he wants to use those experiences to make us cynical and critical and lonely and isolate, or to numb our feelings and emotions and to get stuck in bitterness and resentment. And the honest truth is that sometimes I feel this way, or sometimes I notice myself feeling like looking back on how someone may have treated me and noticing how I have like resentment towards that person, or maybe I feel uncomfortable around that person, or I notice how I begin to like not want to be around that person as much, and I'm aware that I have like unforgiveness in my heart. And so I think the enemy wants to keep us in that place, and keep us in a place not receiving God's love, because he wants us to stay where we are and stay in isolation and to stay in a critical and bitter place. And that's not the way that the Lord created us. He created us to be free, to live in freedom, to have love in our hearts, and to be open to love, and for us to walk in freedom. And so I just want to talk about that today. I feel like the enemy really wants us to stay in that space of disappointment and to continue to have our heart hardened. And when our heart is hardened, we cannot receive the love of the Father like we should. So I want to read from Proverbs 4:23-27. It says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or left. Keep your foot from evil." when we don't know how to guard our heart, we can become easily influenced by the enemy or by hurt or pain. And I love how Proverbs 4:23 talks about how to keep away from those things, to be on guard, to be alert, to be aware of your thoughts, to be aware of how you're feeling, to be aware of your heart. And I feel like oftentimes when we experience unfortunate events in our life or things that we walk through of pain and healing and all of those things, there's an attack from the enemy on our minds and our hearts to flee from the word of God, to flee from being aware of our thoughts and the condition of our heart. And when the condition of our heart is not in the shape it should be, it's more easy for us to follow and to fall into the traps of the world. And so, Old Testament, the word heart is used more than 800 times, but more than 200 times it deals with one's thought life, emotions, and wellsprings of life. And those things motivate us and mold us. The Bible calls it the heart, but we're going to call it the thought life. With that being said, we are going to just list out some ways that you can guard your heart. You may be wondering, well, Bria, how can I guard my heart? Or like, what does that look like? So I want to read from Romans 12:2. It says, "Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." When God is in the heart, then we can think right, we can live right, we can do right. And when God is absent, we think wrong, we do wrong, we live wrong. And not to make that sound so like religious, but when we have the Holy Spirit in our life, He gives us guidance, He gives us convictions to live by God's word, or to think in such a manner that reflects the Holy Spirit, or that reflects God, or that reflects truth, instead of living in like lie. And so when God is absent, when the Holy Spirit is not, when the Holy Spirit is absent from us, we're more prone to like think wrong, or to live in such a way that does not reflect the Holy Spirit, or does not reflect our Heavenly Father. I love this promise. I love this truth that's from Ezekiel 11:19. It says, "I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh." God will restore that heart, that hardened heart, that heart of stone, and give them and give us a heart of flesh, a softened heart. Okay, so I'm not sure if I mentioned this before, but one of my favorite verses, or one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, is Proverbs 4:23. It says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." And now, I don't think this verse is suggesting that we shut ourselves from everyone and everything. Rather, we must be mindful of what we are allowing into our hearts. The media, the news, the content we intake actually does something to us. It actually does have an effect on how we live our lives and how we feel. And I did a podcast episode on this topic recently, and so I believe it's called, I think it's Living a Life Set Apart, so episode 2. If I'm not mistaken. So if you're interested in learning more about that, then I would check out that episode. But it shapes the people we become, and that's not something we should be taking lightly. Therefore, if I'm watching Netflix, or if I'm watching TikTok, or if I'm watching a YouTube channel or YouTube video, reading the news, or even scrolling on Instagram, I try to ask myself the following questions. Is this content softening or hardening my heart? Is it drawing me closer to God and His love? Or am I feeling more disconnected from Him? It's so easy for us to become desensitized to the violence or impurity or lies, anxiety, gossip. And I could say that for myself. It's so easy for for myself to become desensitized from the things that are not pleasing to the Lord, things that don't reflect Him. And let's see, where was I at? All of those things, and all of which those things the media capitalizes on, it capitalizes on impurity and violence and anxiety and gossip. Therefore, if we want to stay sensitive and have a soft heart and keep our hearts softened, we need to guard our hearts from destructive inputs. So once you are aware, or once you are, once you notice that maybe you have a hardened heart, these are a few things that you could do, that I would suggest that you would do. One being practice being vulnerable, learning from children. Children are such a gift, and they have so much knowledge, believe it or not. Embracing sadness, confessing your sins, forgiving yourself and forgiving others, and lastly, being in God's creation, being in beauty. And I'm going to actually touch on all of those things in our next segment. Alrighty, so hopping into this segment about like each of the things that I think you should start doing when you notice you have a hardened heart, we're going to start with vulnerability. And one of my favorite quotes about vulnerability comes from Brené Brown. She writes, "Staying vulnerable is the risk we have to take if we want to experience connection." And God has been teaching me a lot about vulnerability and the importance of being open and sharing how I'm feeling and sharing things that I'm going through with trusted people and people that care about me and people that love me. And it means that we need to live more of an authentic life, sharing who we are with people in our lives. In my opinion, a vulnerable heart is a heart that is soft. Next one I mentioned was beauty, prioritizing beauty. And I love how John Eldridge describes the softening power of beauty. He writes, "Beauty is such a gentle grace like God. It rarely shouts, rarely intrudes, rather it woos, soothes, invites. We often sigh in the presence of beauty, and as it begins to minister to us, a good, deep soul sigh." That's what he said. And we all experience God's beauty in different ways. And I've noticed since COVID, since the lockdown, and up until now, I've always felt the softest in God's presence, in God's nature. And so going for a walk at the park, or going for a run, or watching the sunset, or going for a hike, I've always felt the closest to God, or the softest, as you would say, to the Lord during those times. And also, like, music also has a kind of a similar effect on me. I love worship, being in worship, or having a time when it's just me and the Lord, and I'm just worshiping Him or listening to a song, or in moments when I'm at work. To be honest, guys, at work is when, like, I am listening to, like, podcasts and worship music, and that's when I also feel, like, most encouraged and most connected to God's presence. In moments like that, or even like moments when I'm having a really bad day or like really difficult day and I don't feel the Lord, but then I look back and I'm like, wow, God was so near to me in that time. And so just being slow, being in God's creation, being in His beauty, being still, I would say, is one of the things you could do once to soften your heart, or when you notice you have a hardened heart. The next thing I mentioned was learning from children. And you might be thinking, like, what? Like, what do you mean? And this may seem kind of strange, but I think spending time with children can also soften our hearts. It's clear in the gospel that children have had a very special place in Jesus's heart. In Matthew 18:3, it says Jesus even goes so far as to tell his disciples, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." And that was in Matthew 18:3. And I actually have the privilege of serving with kids, serving with youth, and serving with elementary students. And I actually just recently, this past Sunday, served in the nursery. And I absolutely love the heart of a child. I love the wonder. I love the joy. I love the fearlessness of a child and the curiosity of a child. And I believe, like, God sees us as little children, like, wonder and not knowing what to do, not knowing what life has in store for us. Like, you know, I love looking at children and talking to children and seeing how much faith they have and how little faith we have. Children are some of the most trusting people I know, and they don't have the same walls and same defense mechanisms that adults develop to protect ourselves. Therefore, I think we have a lot to learn from children. And the next thing I mentioned was embracing sadness. I think that many Christians feel the need to be joyful all the time and feel guilty for experiencing sadness and discouragement. And I think at one point in my walk and life, I felt that way. Like, I felt like I always had to be on and I always had to be this image. But the Lord has really been working on me and working on my heart and tearing that down. We're not going to be joyful. We're not going to be happy at all times. We're human. Like, I'm human. And I think that's one of the biggest things that people mistake me Bree, I've never seen you sad. I've never seen you, like, angry. But I'm human. And it's okay to be sad. It's okay to feel other emotions besides happiness or to be at 100% all the time. And so I think it's okay to feel sad. However, as I read the Bible, I'm struck by how people embrace their honest feelings before God. And Hannah cried in the temple. In the Bible, this lady named Hannah, girl named Hannah, cried in the temple because she was barren and without son. Elijah expressed despair to God as he was running from Ahab. And so if you think about it, Hannah was, like, so sad. She was crying out to God because she wasn't able to bear a son. Elijah was, like, afraid for his life, running from King Ahab and Jezebel. Job was grieved and mourned his losses. Even Jesus cried over the death of his friend Lazarus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there's so many reasons that God has given us tears. And sometimes I do believe that tears can be very healing. And sometimes we just really need a good cry. And sometimes, I'm going to be honest, I need a good cry. Crying in my corner with my journal or without a journal or just me crying, sometimes that's healing in itself. And I know from personal experience that softens me and it softens us. And tears can have an effect on our heart. I'm not saying that, like, we were created to be sad. No, but that's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that being sad is okay. Embrace that time, embrace that space that you're in. I love this quote by Brené Brown. It says, "We cannot selectively numb emotions. When we numb the painful emotions, we also numb the positive emotions." And so part of being human is allowing ourselves to experience full range of emotions, including difficult ones, like I mentioned, like, seconds ago. And something else that I mentioned that you should do once you are aware that your heart is hardened, I think there's one or two more, but one of the things that I've mentioned was confessing your sin. When my heart feels hard, sometimes I read Psalm 32, it says, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, those sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sins, blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and whose spirit is no deceit." And strangely enough, ironically enough, I actually had someone reach out to me from high school that said that the Lord has been tugging on their heart to apologize and to walk in forgiveness. And they actually reached out to me. And I thought that was just the most, that's just so beautiful. It really touched my heart. And she had the courage, and she actually walked in the obedience from the Lord to confess and to apologize and to walk in forgiveness and to receive forgiveness. And so I believe we have to do that. We have to bring our sin into the light. It softens our heart. Like personally for me, whenever I feel like really like my heart's been hardened by someone or by something that's happened towards me, I have to really like get alone. And this could be difficult depending on how hurtful or how hard this is. It could be difficult, but I believe that when we bring it into light, when we tell someone, when we tell a friend, when we tell a parent or tell a trusted person what we're going through or what we're dealing with, and even bring it to the Lord, there's so much healing that can take place in that. And so, and also confession keeps us sensitive to the Lord and his gentle correction. It keeps us sensitive to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Okay, and lastly, I mentioned forgiving ourselves and forgiving others, which I kind of touched on just a minute ago. Our hearts aren't only hardened by our own sinfulness, but also by the sins done to us. And I think that bitterness has the greatest potential to harden our hearts. I know people in my life now who are bitter from things that's happened to them years ago, or that it's still walking through grief and pain from things that happened to them years ago or even a day ago. And I believe that God wants us to walk in freedom. He wants us to live in freedom from those things. And he has the power and the love to soften those areas in our heart. And there's an author, she says, your heart is much too beautiful, a place for unhealed pain, and your soul is much too deserving of freedom to stay stuck. And in my forgiveness of healing, I had a family member who I haven't spoken to in a couple, I'm going to be super vulnerable. I had a family member I haven't spoken to in a couple of, it's been like almost 2 years, I think, which is so unlike, that's not a thing that happens. And, I think we were both like really hurt by one another. And so, the Lord, praise God for restoration, because he's restored that relationship, but we had to talk about it. We had to forgive each other. We had to, cry about it and forgive each other and choose to love each other and move on and to hear one another. And so, in my experience, forgiveness isn't just a one-time action. It's a continuation process that gradually heals and restores our hearts. And so I want you guys to reflect on those things that I mentioned and ask the Holy Spirit, ask God, what areas of your heart are hardened? Ask him to soften those areas. He has the power to soften that. His love softens. And I feel like I can go on and on about this topic, and it's something that I'm still walking through as I get older and learning. And I just pray that this was helpful for you. And before we close, I want to pray us out, and just I want you guys to think about, really get a journal and get a pen, and let's write down some things that we took from this episode, and let's ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us things that are in our hearts that are not supposed to be there. Because how are we going to receive God's love when our heart is hardened? Nothing, like think of like a rock. No water can get through a rock when it's hardened. Like, a rock is hard. And so we need to soften our hearts in order to receive love from others, to receive love from our family, our friends, those around us, and also to receive the most important love that we could get, the love that satisfies, the love that edifies our heart, edifies our soul, which is God's love. And so, yeah, I really hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I'm going to pray us out, and then we're going to close out this episode. So, Lord, I thank you so much for just giving me this topic, putting this topic on my heart. I thank you, God, for the resources that you've given me to talk about this effectively, and I pray that you will continue to do a work in my heart and to help me soften my heart from the things of the world that could harden my heart and harden who I am, God, and who you created me to be. And I ask that you would do that same thing for those listening, or to that girl, or to that guy, or to that mom or dad or cousin or sister that's listening right now. I pray that you will soften their heart, Lord, and lavish them in your love. God, I thank you, and I thank you, God, for just this podcast and using me. In your name, Lord, I pray, amen. So, guys, before I close, I want to remind you guys that you could follow this podcast on Instagram at Abide and Thrive Podcast for updates. Also, don't forget to like or leave a review. The reviews are so helpful. I know that I look at reviews when I'm searching for things or even looking for food, honestly. And so reviews are so helpful. And so if you want this podcast to reach someone else, leave a review, give it a like, download it, share it with a friend or someone who needs encouragement. Also, if you would love to be a part of what God is doing, I hope that you will consider giving or being a monthly subscriber, which means that you'll be giving a donation of 99 cents, $4.99 a month, or $9.99 a month. And that link is going to be located in the description of the podcast. And so I hope that you will consider to give. It would mean so much to me, and I would greatly appreciate it. But that's enough for episode 7 of Abide and Thrive. I love you guys, and I'm so thankful that you chose to tune in and listen. And I will see you guys in episode 8 of Abide and Thrive podcast. So see you guys then. Bye.